Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are the weekly three-hour get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday night here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. And it's been a beautiful day, hot week. Hope you guys have had a good one, and it's going to be a hot night here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We got a lot to get to, plenty of guests. We got two interviews tonight. We welcome back, in his alter ego, the one and only Terry Michael Leroy, with his new band Leroy X 3 or Leroy 8. I'm not sure how he kind of puts it out there, but we welcome him back tonight. Also, his alter ego is Granny Four Barrels. Lots of good music from them. I just opened the show with the video from Terry's new band, Leroy X 3, or I guess Leroy 8, Leroy the 8th. I'm going to see how he kind of pronounces that. But we also got Morpheus Tilly from the band Mojo Alice. We played their music, I think, last week's show. Maybe the week before. They have a new album coming out, Liquid Sin. And we're going to have can't wait. There he is. Hey, Morpheus. And looking forward to having them all. We're going to have our first guest from New Zealand. We've had people from Australia, the UK. I'm pretty sure we had some Sweden, Switzerland, one of those countries. But our first guest from live from New Zealand, looking forward to that today. So we're looking forward to that tonight. We got a lot of music and sports for you tonight. So keep on. Hang in with us. I want to do a couple quick announcements. First off, a good happy birthday to friend of mine from a long time ago, from my football days, South Beach Panthers, Frankie Mule, Iggy Mo, happy birthday out there. I also do, Dad, I know you're hanging on the line. You stay on there. I'm just going to disconnect to show you for a little bit. I'm going to show a photo. I want to get a little something on. I want to wish congratulations to the Pika family for the birth of Carmine Albert Rudge. That's right. Little Carmine has entered the world. I'm going to see if I get a picture up here. So, Dad, hang in there. Don't go anywhere. Let's see if I could share that photo now. Let's see, share file. Okay, hold on a second. Sorry, guys, I'll get Jeff on in half a second. I just wanted to get these photos in there if I can. I'm not sure it's going to let me. Let's see real quick. Let's see if I can find it in my system. It's not letting me. Let's see. I'm not sure that's going to let me in there. Nope, it's not going to let me share this. Shoot. Share one more time. Video file's not there. Share screen. Let's see if I put it up on the screen again, if it shows up. Let's see. Yeah, that's over there. Let's see if we get it centered up. And brought over. Come on, man. Sorry, guys. I'm sometimes the new technology. There it is. I'm going to share the screen, share it. Let's see. And there he is, little Carmine Albert Rudge with his grandpa, Guamati, Lou Pika. Congratulations to the entire family on the birth of little Carmine. Louie, make sure he always carries his wallet. Please make sure he always carries his wallet. Good day. Hello to our good friend Giuseppe Dante popping up on the screen there. So, again, we'll get back to the show. I just wanted to wish the Pika family, congratulations on Carmine's birth. So let's stop sharing that. One second, I'm going to move some stuff, get up, and get ready to get Jeff on. And we're going to share this again. Sorry, guys, it's a little tough here to get going and to do these things all by yourself. There we go. And, okay, so let's start the show, guys. I hope you guys have had a great week. Again, remember, Morpheus Tilly from the band Mojo Alice will be our guest about 8:15 tonight. And, of course, our good friend Terry Leroy popping up about 7:45. In between, we got some baseball, football. We got a little basketball and hockey. And we got a big NFL treat for you right after Morpheus's interview. We'll do our top 10 things that Jeff and I are looking forward to in the NFL season as really the last few minutes of relevant football news is this week. Once all the minicamps are over, it goes dark and quiet till, unless there's a trade, which could happen, till training camp starts at the end of July. So let's kick off the show. Let's get Jeff on the air. Let's have some fun. Right back here at the Hot Rocket Sports Show. We're here every Thursday. Now remember, next week, we got a couple interviews coming up. I think next week is Danny Zelenko. Danny Zalesko, he is a concert promoter, one of the biggest of all time. He'll pop in next week with us. On the 24th, I believe it's going to be the one and only Sammy Lee from Red Rain. I'll get more stuff up on here for you guys. But let me get Jeff on. Let's get the show started and have a little fun. What's up, Hefe?
What's going on, man?
Same old shit, my friend. It's just a little tougher getting this stuff on the air tonight. But, Hefe, let's start the show like we always do. Hefe, how was your week?
Still not over. I got to go to work tomorrow.
Oh, that sucks. Well, listen, though, but I saw your post. You're about a month out from your birthday, which we're all obviously looking forward
today.
To. A month from today. And shortly, possibly after that, if the moons and the stars align, you may be a retired gentleman.
Yeah, they're starting to peek out of the clouds and look like everybody's getting in line. Or at least they're lined up that way.
Well, that's good news. I mean, do you know, like, all right, so let's say July 15th, Jeff is no longer an employed Parks Department worker. You're of the retired sector of the country. If that is the case, Jeff, if you have now retired, will you be taking some time off before a new career? Will there be a new career?
Yeah, there'll be something. But I don't know what. I'm keeping my ears open.
Will you take some downtime for a while? Are you the type you'll sit around for, let's say, take the summer off, start after Labor Day, kind of kick back a little bit?
I really don't know how open that window is going to be.
Okay.
You know, it depends on a couple different things. One thing you could bet your bottom dollar on is I'm going to be baked out of my fucking skull. I'm going to make up for lost time. I can promise you that much.
Well, as long as you show up on a Hard Rock and Sports Show within your limits.
I don't know how good I'm going to be, but I'll be there. They may prop me up with a stick, but...
We'll do something to get you going. But, guys, we've got a lot to get to tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. I want to get right into it with this baseball talk. There's a lot of craziness right now in the world of baseball, Major League Baseball, with this cheating scandal, so to speak. And I'm curious, Jeff, do you have a take on it before I give mine? Do you have any thoughts on all of this?
Are you talking about the pitching?
I'm talking about the pitching scandal at this moment. Yes, they're saying that players have been using a foreign substance, and the poster child is New York Yankee Gerrit Cole.
And that was the fucking idiot that was on that couldn't answer the question, that stumbled over his own words. He should have been better off just, I don't know about that. I don't know what others do. I know that I'm cool, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to get my dad right in on this, but, Jeff, here's the thing. I think that people have been doctoring baseballs all through. I mean, if you think back to Whitey Ford, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, guy, Hall of Famer, seven or eight Yankee World Series. The guy in his books admitted, having the catcher cut the ball. He did everything he could to it. Gaylord Perry went to the Hall of Fame, just blatantly, telling you how he doctored the baseball. To think that this point in time, with that aghast, that with that taken aback by people, and again, this is not about doctoring the ball. This is about getting a better grip on the ball. Do you think that this is a huge scandal?
No, listen, there's people right now that are being passed over going into the Hall of Fame, considered cheating because of their involvement with steroids that was still legal
right
at the time that they were playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So baseball has always been doing whatever they could to get the competitive edge.
Yeah.
I believe it was you that brought up a couple weeks ago. If it wasn't you, I can't remember who it was, so maybe they were talking on the show. I don't remember, but I believe it was you that said, when you got a guy that's throwing the ball 105 miles an hour, but yet he doesn't know where that ball is going once it leaves his hand, if you're going to let him use a little something so that he has a little bit more control over where that ball's going instead of maybe going for somebody's head or something like that, what's the difference? You know, they hit the ball back at the pitcher, not to start bringing these stats in, but sometimes at over 120 miles an hour. You know, it's a matter of time before somebody gets seriously injured here. If the pitcher's going to use a little something to keep his hands dry, a little extra spin on the ball, whatever, you know, consider it. Consider it. Maybe it'll prevent somebody from getting a beanball or pitch to the face and getting seriously injured.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get hit in the ass with a baseball going 100 miles an hour, much less getting hit in the head.
I agree wholeheartedly. And listen, while I frown on changing the game and altering the game and all that stuff, I think this has been a part of the game for a long time. And what people are accusing them of is getting a better spin rate, which helps the ball move naturally, I guess. And, you know, they picked on Cole. Now, again, do I think Cole did it? Yeah, I think he was doing it or is doing it. I think a lot of players are doing it. If you look at the careers of some of these guys, you know, I'll give you Verlander. Verlander in his last couple years at Detroit couldn't get anybody out. All of a sudden went over to the Houston Astros and was winning Cy Youngs. So I think that there's something to it. Now, Pete Alonso, who I'm not a huge fan of from the Mets, came out today and said, hey, if this is allowing these guys to be able to control 101-mile-an-hour pitch, I'm all for it. Just to your point, Jeff. So I think that there's a little bit of an advantage because it puts a little spin on the ball. I don't think this is the first year that this has been going on. And in 2019, balls were flying out all over the country. Nobody complained about spin rates and all that stuff then. So this isn't happening this year. This has been going on a long time. And I just think that it's, you know, somebody said, Josh Donaldson said something, accused Cole. And to your point, well, I'm sorry to go so long, but Cole came out and said basically to start that whole thing, hey, you know, when you came into this league, there were things that were brought up or shown to you from the older guys that you just kept going with, and nobody complained. Now, he should have just said, listen, there are stuff I try to use on a cold night or on a wet night to make sure the ball doesn't slip out of my hands, but I don't get a competitive advantage out of it, and moved on. Yes, 30 seconds of stammering did not look good. But to me...
No, listen, the best thing he could have turned around and said, listen, I have no idea what you're talking about. I never did anything to the ball. Unless they have video with him and they're saying, well, what's going on in this sequence right here? You just turn around and be like, I've never doctored the ball. You know, not only do certain sports police themselves, but it certainly seems as though that certain sports have their unspoken rules. And baseball, probably more than any other sport.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, it's going to turn around and continue to live the way it has for God knows how many years. Mm-hmm. So instead of just turning around and saying, I didn't do it, you know, it's I got a rosin bag there.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I use, rosin.
Yeah, again, there's a million ways to go. I think the stammering part was not good. So,
no, of course not.
Yeah, so I don't know. But let's get my dad in, because I think Carmine, Dr. Carmine, who you have somehow decided to amuse you, wants to pop in at some point. So let's get my dad in first.
Well, listen, he's a smart man.
Yeah. Let's get my dad on the show for a minute, see what he's got to say. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? It's very, very, it's very stupid. I mean, they've been cheating in baseball since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of Pete Alonso. I agreed with a lot of things that he said. And I also about the balls, them changing the rated balls, the leather of the ball, the seams of the ball. And it seems like they keep changing it every time negotiations come out the next year for play.
I'm not buying that part, Dad. Well, let me ask you this question. If that was the case, so – last year, if they doctored the baseball and the balls were, they didn't want the balls. They wanted to slow it down. How did Lindor get a $340 million contract? 2 years ago, they wanted to keep the pitchers down. Yet, 2019, the balls were flying out all over the place, and Gerrit Cole gets a $300 million contract. I'm not buying that part.
Listen to what you're saying. There's pitchers when when he got it, he's what, a pitcher?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're trying to get it for the hitters. Now, the hitters, if you can make a pitcher look bad when he comes up to negotiate his contract,
yeah,
what's going to happen to it? It's going to get knocked down.
Yeah, I think that baseball does mess with the balls every year somehow. I don't know why all the other sports
are the same. Let me ask you a question. Why is a batter allowed to have all kinds of stick-ems and all kinds? Why is he allowed to hold that bat? Have it in his hand. It don't slip out.
Yeah,
no,
I agree
I'm not
with
saying
you
disagree
with
me. I'm just saying this is all a crock of sugar.
I agree with you 100%, but I'm not buying that Major League Baseball is altering the ball, Jeff, to make free agency go their way. I think they alter the ball for some reason to either move the game one way or the other. I don't think it has anything to do with free agency.
If they're altering the ball, I don't think it has anything to do with free agency either.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was a behind-the-scenes thing and they tell the clubs, like, say, a small club like Milwaukee, go after a top-tier free agent, we'll give you an extra $500,000 towards TV rights or something like that. But I think that if they do it, maybe they say, you know, last year there was 2,000 home runs hit. Way too many.
Yeah.
You want to cut it down to like 17 or 50.
Well, I think that's
changed
the
ball a little bit.
Yeah, I think.
I see that.
But I don't know why. Your football, basketball, hockey, their pucks, their balls are all the same. I don't know why that baseball supposedly messes with the ball each year. To me, make the ball one way and then let the game adjust.
Hey, you know what, Tommy? Let me ask you a question. I mean, with Tom Brady, what would the big if Tom Brady's the only one using that ball? What the hell is the difference?
I agree.
He's got 15 pounds of pressure. I mean,
because he's Tom Brady.
If you're going to have a rule, make sure that you're able to enforce it. If you're going to have a rule and you can now take baseball, they have those oven mittens that you see these players wearing. Now, to me, that's cheating. You're adding 2-3 inches. Where does it stop? What if a guy gets a mitten and comes out and it's a foot long now?
Yeah,
you understand? Yeah. Where do you stop?
I agree.
Baseball's been cheating. Whitey Elston Howard used to wear his wedding ring, which you were saying, and when he caught the ball, he'd go out to the mound and he'd dig a hole into it. And Whitey Foot. Listen, if you're a great pitcher, you're able to do that. You want to stop it, you can stop it.
Yep,
okay?
I agree.
All you
got to
do is
buy
him, throw him out of the game. But they're not doing it. And then when something happens, they get caught, they try to blame everybody else.
I agree.
And I just think it's stupid.
Yep.
It's 6% of the rotation of the ball. Come on, man. If you can't hit a baseball, you can't hit a baseball.
I agree with you 100%. Jeff, you were going to jump in with something. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, as far as the changing of all of the different things that you're saying, the basketball, football, and
they
everything.
They don't, yeah.
Hockey's just a rubber puck. There's not much that you can do with that.
Right.
Basketball, either the ball is inflated or overinflated, underinflated, whatever the case is. But God knows how many balls they go through. Football, as important, of course, as the ball is, it's in play. It's in play a completely different way than the baseball. You know what I mean? In baseball, you're throwing that ball to gain a competitive edge over somebody else. That person is looking to hit the ball with a competitive edge over somebody else. So I could see Major League Baseball, if they're sitting down behind the scenes, saying, well, we're going to change the baseball this year. We're going to make it harder. So if we make it harder, it should be more home runs. We're going to make it
softer. Oh, absolutely, Jeff. Absolutely, yeah. Baseball's been accused of that for years, sure.
Once you're on the football field and the play starts, you either hand the ball off, and then it's the runner and the blocker's ability, or you throw the ball to the wide receiver, and then he catches it, and then he runs, and it's yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball, if you really think about it, is really the only sport where that ball is such a – maybe hockey is, but is in such an integral part of the game because of the way that it's being used.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? You know
sure,
what
absolutely. I got you. Absolutely. Good, and Dr. Tom Chase is hanging in the bullpen waiting for this. We'll get him on in a couple seconds.
Everybody knows when you – baseball buys balls. They take them and they rub them down with a mud.
Sure.
Right? It's supposed to be something from where in Mississippi or whatever.
Mississippi,
so,
I believe,
well, what are you telling me? I can put mud on a ball and I can take the – because the ball is very slippery.
Slick.
So I don't understand what – either you stop it or you don't stop it. They knew this was going on. You know, baseball's getting to be like a bunch of little girls. You know, I could play this, I could do this, but if I get caught, it's this guy's fault, it's that guy's fault.
Yeah.
Come on, stop it.
I agree. I find this to be ridiculous. I'm glad Cole came out last night and had a great performance, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, shut the Twins down. A couple of good spots, and this will blow over. You can regulate anything you want if you're Major League Baseball, but to me, guys holding the ball so it doesn't slip, get a little more grip on it, not buying into it, and I think this has been going on for 100 years. It's just somebody now woke up and want to make an issue out of it. So I don't have a big deal with that.
I don't know. I just think it's so stupid. Yep. I think baseball's, no wonder why they're going down on everything. Because they're ignorant. I mean, I don't understand. You got the owners that hate the players. The players can't stomach them. And without either one of them, they're not going to be millionaires or billionaires.
Sure.
So they should be working together. I mean, I don't understand. This should have been all done. Listen, you knew, everybody knew something was going on. Why wasn't this done before the season started?
Absolutely.
Okay?
Why do it in the middle of the season?
And you didn't have to have this big embarrassment.
Yep,
or were the owners trying to embarrass the players?
Very good point.
Yeah, all right. Enjoy.
Thanks,
have a good one. Jeff, take care. Enjoy your weekend. Hope you work out good if you retire. And Tommy, I'll see you over the weekend.
Yeah, it's open.
You got it, Bob.
Yeah,
you're waiting.
You could do it. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. I'll see you over the weekend. That's my daddy checks in every Thursday night with us. Always brings a different perspective, or maybe a little old school perspective, Jeff. But now a different type of perspective is coming. I'm going to go out first. An asinine,
I hope he's twisted,
backwards,
beyond belief, and I hope he's pissing venom, right?
Well, before he gets to piss his venom, I'm going to say this. I'll give him credit. The bull riding video, one of my favorites. I think the Maloik is full of shit. His team is a disaster only they're avoiding disaster because they're in a shit division. And for him to come out here tonight and blast my beloved New York Yankees, it shows me for one thing, Jeff. The guy's got a pair of balls this big.
Carmine, I hope that you listen to everything that Tommy said.
He's listening.
Once again, when I ask you to lay the hammer down in September, I hope you remember what he just said and do it, please.
Here it comes. Well, Jeff, without further ado, let's bring on Dr. Thumb Chaser. There he is.
Thank
you. Go ahead, Carmine. It's all yours.
Okay. So, I try to be nice, and you're starting to whine like a fucking pussy, Tom. A pussy.
How's
you know
it whining?
What a pussy is, Tom?
It's
something big. It's something wet. In most cases, it stinks. And with you and your fucking whining, bitch of a fucking crybaby team. All you were, you got to escape division. When you guys suck balls that whole division and you're beating on the fucking Orioles every fucking year and every other year Boston's winning 100 or fucking losing 100. So shut up!
So do you forget that the Miami Marlins reside in your division and they win about 60 games a year?
Yeah, look at it.
And the Phillies have been lighting up the universe too, right? Oh, I forgot.
Listen
you're right.
Listen to me.
Come on.
We've got nobody fucking playing. You got a bunch of stiffs playing, and they suck Yankee Doodle dick.
And let me see. Hold on. And they still have – they're the only division in all of baseball that the team leading the division doesn't even have 30 wins. Every other division –
Hey, jerk off. They don't have 30 wins
because
they didn't fucking play 10 games.
Well, you know what? How do you know they would have won any of those games? You can't tell me they won.
They would have lost all of
you
them.
Don't know that. Hey, Tommy, Joe Biden got 100,000 votes all by himself. Why not? Why couldn't they lose?
Hold on, you fucking cop.
Good.
Hey, Jeff. Let's see if he's got balls the size of a field mouse. Why don't you put a bet out?
Oh,
you're the Yankees, and your jerk of fucking friend Brian fucking Gibbs, the dumbest human being on the fucking planet, gave me 17 games when the season started.
Okay.
So now there's 62 in, and he goes, still 100 left. Would you like to give me 17 games?
I would never give anybody 17 games. That's ridiculous.
Because you're not that fucking stupid, are you?
No, I'm not stupid. Would I give you...
The ball's the size of a field mouse. Okay.
No, it's because I got brains. I got brains. I'm a Yankee and a Giant fan. I'm not a Jet fan. I got brains in my head.
Okay. Well, listen, I didn't make the fucking bet. I took the bet.
And smartly you did. I would have taken that bet.
Listen, when he gave me the bet, and I said, listen, he goes, I'll still double or nothing. I'm like, Jack off. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, don't do that to yourself. Think about that. The Mets would have to win 82 games, and the Yankees would have to win 99 to make that bet, and that would be a push.
A push.
And that's a push.
That's a push. I said to him, you're a dumb. I think the fucking guy's going to suck, and we're going to win 105. Get the fuck out of here. I went, okay.
You should have to go to church and repent for taking that poor man's money. Holy water in your ass.
That's why they call me Dr. Thumbchaser.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting a fucking four-fingered Murray. He isn't getting two in a pink and one, even though he has a pink after this fucking dumb bet. Two in his pink and one there, and give that stick him. Wasn't that a fucking rap song?
Yes, it was a rap song. And that caused Hard Rock and Sports there. So what else? Are you here to bash the Yankees? Or are you here to prop up your Mets? Which one are you here to do tonight?
A little bit. It's the. I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm here to fucking pat your boy in the back.
Which boy?
Even though he pitched the fucking Staten Island Little League yesterday, he fucking blew them away.
Which?
And I'm glad he did.
Me too.
Believe it or not.
Me too.
But the comment that fucking idiot said when I asked the question, how do you know how to answer that? Can you imagine your father said to you, who fucking broke that? And you went, I don't know how to answer that. And the second I said, I don't know how to answer that, there would have been fucking five repeated rights to my fucking head.
I agree. I think he handled it incorrectly. He should have just came out.
What a fucking imbecile.
Yes, I agree with you. He should have been prepared. He should have known it was coming and answered the question, simple and answer, yes or no, or came up with the – and I thought he started out okay, and then he got into the I don't know what to say.
No comment.
Correct. 100%. 100%. But
mind your business. Fuck your mother.
Yeah. But I'll say this. I agree. I watched last night's game, and he needed to come out there and dominate. Yes, whether it was the Twins or – whether it was
doesn't
the Mets.
Matter, right. Dude,
yes.
He's got great stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
He's got great stuff.
Yes. Now, you're not going to tell me.
The DeGrom stuff is
no.
The one DeGrom.
No, listen. There's DeGrom, and then there's everybody else. And he is. And there's
and
no.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
100%. DeGrom is on another level from everybody else. But I'm glad he did. He still needs another outing or two like that, and then it'll start to go away quietly. And Carmine, listen, you're a baseball fan forever. To me, this is a non-story. This has been going on for 100 years.
Here's where it is a story. Here's where it is a story.
Why?
The fucking whining and crying at almost, I'd say more than half of the fucking Yankee fans that they got robbed against the fucking Astros. Come on, man.
Well, see now, wait a second. Hold on. Now,
argument when you score two fucking runs a game.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think the Yankees have done a bad job. I think this team is poorly constructed now. And it all started with the Stanton trade. And I questioned it then. I still question it now. I'll say this. The Yankee fan and the Yankees have nothing to say as far as losing that series because you're right. They did not score runs in that series. They didn't score runs ever in
the
playoffs. Correct. But I don't let the Astros off the hook for doing that.
I'm not saying let the Astros off the hook.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be off the hook.
You can't paint that brush. No. Fuck you, Altuve, and all that other shit. And, when our guys cheat or take steroids, it's different.
Well, listen.
Everybody's going to do what they can to get an edge. And I don't give a fuck. I'm not saying that's terrible. I don't give a fuck. They won their fucking championships.
Yeah, listen.
They had guys with steroids. Big deal. So did most every other one.
Correct. But again, when you're sitting in center field with a camera and you're banging on drums, I think that's where, to me, it's a little over the line. Did they win a championship because of it? I don't think they won a championship because of it, but it's still bad optics for baseball. I think it is.
But here's the part that I want you to put into your pipe as well. They still had their little fucking scam when Washington beat them, and they won all three games. Houston did won all three games in Houston and lost all four games to Washington at home.
All right, let me ask you guys this. I got you, but let me ask you this. If you found out in the 2015 World Series, which one New York team lost, I forget which team. Oh, that was the Mets. That's right. If you found out during that World Series that the Kansas City Royals had an earpiece in and somebody was in center field telling them the pitch coming, would it bother you? That's my point.
So what? Because they could have. They had chances to win.
I got you. But what if those chances? What if they would have had better chances?
If they're smart enough to be able to do that, I got to be honest, Tom.
Yeah.
When I caught and I seen someone fucking trying to steal his lines, I say to the kid, "You next time you look fucking back here, I swear to God, the next one's coming right at your fucking
head." I agree with you, but Jeff, there's a line at some point that you have to stop. Listen. Stealing signs been going on 100 years, and yes, you have your justice for it. But Jeff, once you start adding electronics into it, you're altering the game. That's where I think you got to cross the line.
There's no arguing that's nuts.
Of course, it's altering the game, Tom. But you want to know something? Until it's ruled that it's cheating and it's not allowed, what did they do wrong?
No. Baseball right before that had come out because the year before the Red Sox had got caught with Apple iWatches, and baseball came out and said, okay, you know what? No more electronics. You cannot use electronics at all in the dugouts, in the bullpens. You cannot use any electronics.
Remember?
No, it wasn't the Yankees. That was the Red Sox. The Yankees was against the Yankees.
You want to take a look into this, Tom? I'll give you the link. It was Yankees first, and of course, it was one hand on their balls and the other hand going, okay, but just don't do this again. And then, yes, the Red Sox did do it.
Yeah, I don't remember the Yankee part. You may be right, Carmine.
These fucking guys will always try to get an angle.
I agree, but Jeff, once baseball came out and said no electronics, you cannot use an electronic device, you know, to watch. You can't sit in the Yankee dugout or any dugout with an iPad watching the game. Well, analyzing the picture, you can use, you know, pictures, you can, you know, do a lot of things, but you cannot watch live action. It's banned. If you do that now and you alter the game, Jeff, at some point you got to draw a line. That to me is the big line.
Think of what's involved with them trying to steal signs with electronics. Okay. Even though it may give them an edge, by the time they figure it out, get the message from whoever's doing the stealing over to the batter. It's how much time is going to pass?
It's
almost impossible.
Yeah, but think about it this way, guys. You're right. So now the catcher puts out a sign. You know it's a slider. The likelihood of the slider is low in the strike zone. It's going to maybe 90% of the time it's going to bounce. And all the batter's got to hear is slider, and he's laying off that pitch. Now he has fastball. Now he's tuned into a fast. I get it, it's a split second, but that split second, it means a big difference. And I think, to me, that's where I draw the line.
But if your team is worth anything, they're going to know that sooner or later somebody's going to try to steal their signs. Maybe they say, okay, the manager's going to sit there and do all of this shit all day long, but it's the guy down the end of the bench that's, you know, doing one of these. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And they're taking messages from him. You don't know. Right. Well, or they just change their fucking signals up.
Carmine, all I'm saying is there has to be a line drawn in the sand. Baseball drew it before that series, and everybody broke it. The Red Sox broke it. The Astros broke it. And we'll see where it goes. But to me, Carmine, this has been going on 100 years, and to me this is a non-story, and I'm glad you're right that Gerrit Cole came out last night and pitched a good game.
And I just wish he would have said, you know, hey, guys, it's something that everyone else fucking does. Yes, I've done it. And then guess what happens? The story ends when you fucking go, hey, Bill Clinton, did you smoke when you pop? When you're, well, at least we lived in hell. I'm fucking pissing. Yeah, I did. I was a kid. I did care for things. I'm sorry. And it's the same thing with this. This is not like, oh, I'm stealing signs from some fucking technology, and I'm finding out what the hitter is You know, I know how to take advantage of it. This is just a matter of their stick on the ball, as your father said. These guys got fucking pine tar for the bats.
Yeah.
I don't see that much of a problem with it.
No, nobody does.
And what I really enjoyed is fucking Josh Donaldson did fucking nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
I wasn't happy that he didn't drill him. I understand if he did, he would have been thrown out and all the other shit. So I'll give him kudos, but he got even better. He fucking blew him away.
Absolutely. I think if he had gone out and hit him, Carmine, it would have belittled Cole. And I think what he did going out there, striking him out was way better than throwing at him in that spot.
But Tom, you know what this comes down to? Just stop me if I'm wrong. Nowadays, this cancel culture and everyone's a fucking rat.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. I'm not discounting that, Carmine. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Yeah. And again,
I mean, the old guys, don't they have a stealing sign? He got one in his fucking ear.
Absolutely. Listen, I believe in baseball justice. I believe in justice in any sport. You know, you police, especially in baseball, I think you police your own sport. And when a guy's doing something, he's stealing signs at second base, you know, the batter gets one in the ear and you don't do, and the runner will learn not to do it again.
Guys, I mean, I see Bob gets
I think we lost the doctor.
He's like Drysdale's runs twice and at bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's a different. It's a different game. You know, you didn't dig in against the Gibsons and the Drysdales. You know, and those guys, you didn't dig in. You went up there and you know, and nowadays it's a different ball game. So we talk about this every week. I don't enjoy baseball the way it's being played today. Whether my team's winning or losing, to me, I find baseball today very boring. You know, all of the things I love about the game have been removed from it. Will I root for my team? I do. I don't watch as religiously as I usually do because I find the game boring from not just my team, but all of baseball's station to station and, three-run homers.
I'll tell you this, guys, I'm probably going to do some tailgates this year, but I will not ever spend another dime to go into a game where the tickets are bought. I will never buy another ticket. I will never buy another anything. And I told my family, if you buy me something for my birthday or Christmas and it's the Mets or Jets, I'm fucking burning it. But do yourself a favor. Don't spend the money. I would be a hypocrite to say, yeah, I don't watch it. It's impossible. Mm. But in some way, I got to not support these fucking pricks. And the way I'll do it is I'll never go to another game again in my life.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I agree with you. I agree with you right now. I won't put it that I won't ever go again. I'll just say I won't go right now the way it's played. And my biggest thing is I will not buy any apparel. I usually buy new hats and buy shirts.
No,
and I will not give them my money. So I love the game, so I tune in on. But going there and giving them my hard-earned money or buying their stuff, I agree with you, Carmen. I'm not doing it either.
Yeah.
How about you, Jeff? I didn't hear you say something on this.
No, dude, I haven't bought anything in a long time. And will
right,
not.
Good. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's to me, that's
and
the only way.
I will go to the games regardless because the prices are just simply too fucking much.
Oh, they're nuts, dude.
Yeah,
you're
insane.
Right, you're nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you go to a game, you buy the tickets for a few $100, and then you got to try to eat and then park and you know, it's a $400-$500 night before you spin. So, I mean, you got to be in love with it. And right now, I don't love the players in any of the sports. Maybe hockey, I'll give it a pass. But the other ones, I don't watch basketball other than keep track of it.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
basketball, I have like zero. I mean, I'm a Net fan, but trust me when I say if they lost the next. And again, I would really give a shit.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I honestly do. But and you're right, Carmen. There's got to be something. And again, I love the game, so I'm going to watch it and have some fun. You know, with fans of other teams, we all break each other's balls.
Well,
but I think
that's
most.
The only fucking reason I do it.
Yeah. Other than that, though, to support them in any way, giving them my money, I just can't do it. So that's my stand against Major League Sports.
Even before all of this, they took it to such a level that if you have a son and you want to take your kid out to a ball game, and like you just said, what you're going to pay for parking, tickets, a couple hot dogs, the kid's going to want a souvenir. It's like, how much money you got to put aside for an afternoon?
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's virtually impossible. Besides that, I'd rather just sit at home and watch in the comfort of my own home. If I'm hot, I put the air on. I'm cold, but you know what I mean? I got to go pinch a load, whatever I want to do.
The most important thing, Jeff, the most important thing, while you're flipping with the remote, is one hand free to juggle. Keep that in mind.
Yes, there is. But if you're a real fan, you'll do that live, too.
Yeah, that'll be me going to fucking jail. Why? I was jacking off on the field.
Well, Jeff, hopefully you have a lot of time.
It's a simple adjustment.
Well, listen, Doc, I got my next guest coming on. We'd love having you on, and keep the videos coming. I have to admit, the bull one was my favorite to date. It's probably one of my favorites to date. But wait, what was with the hair? What was with the hair?
I promise I wasn't an Hasidic Jew. It was supposed to be. Remember in Nutty Professor when he pulls off the hat? He said, "I'm about to Karatekize you." He takes the hat off and the dreadlocks is sticking up, and Eddie Murphy starts crying. He's going, "Take that shit off your head." Well, I know. I looked at it. It looked like a yarmulke.
I couldn't figure out where the Jewish bull rider was coming from, but.
I'm surprised
nobody said anything about it. Kamai, I love you to death, my man.
I love you guys. Jeff, Tommy, be well, my boys.
You got it. That's Dr. Dumb Chaser calling in. See you soon, Kamai. Take care, buddy.
Be well, buddy.
He never disappoints, Jeff.
No, he does not, man. No,
he never disappoints. But there's another person who never disappoints us, Jeff. And we haven't spoken to him in a long time. I haven't seen him since his show in the city, under his alternate character or alternate personality, when I got to see Granny Fourbarrel in the city, I think it was 2019, with a great show. Yeah, that was a great show. I think we had a drink together actually after, and that was the second time I got to see him. Got to see them live, and now he's live right here in his, I don't know, his old. Maybe this is like Clark Kent to the Superman. I'm not really sure. But joining Jeff and myself here at the Hard Rocket Sports Show is the one and only Terry Leroy. Terry!
Hey, guys.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
You know, it's...
Last time I was talking to you, I was dressed up like an old woman.
we were starting to get concerned. We didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, dude. It's definitely an alter ego. But, we're going to talk about Granny in the third person.
Yes, it's going to be a little strange for us. We've had Granny. Granny showed up a lot of times around here. So.
Yeah, she's been feeling a little out of it. So her grandson's taking over tonight.
Well, you know what's funny, Terry? We were just a few weeks ago on the show, Jeff and I were talking, and we had interviewed somebody. We were talking about how much fun some of the guests are, and you came up and said, you know, it's been a long time. I wonder what happened to Granny and the show, maybe. Like, you know, the pandemic killed it. We hadn't heard, and then I got the email that you wanted to come on, and I was, of course, happy to have you on the show. So what's been going on in the last year and a half?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, you're right. It was like almost a couple of years ago now. We played at Dingbats, I think, and you guys were there. And, yeah, then, of course, well, pandemic, so things got shut down. But Granny didn't stop. We just kept recording.
Mm-hmm.
We kept recording, and then we started another collaborative project. We did that cover tune for charity under the moniker Leroy 13, my last name,
mm-hmm.
And I rounded up some all-star guys for that. So, and then back again to Granny. There's a new song. I think I sent you guys some links.
Yes, I played the Leroy 13 Stand Up and Shout cover, which was phenomenal. So I want to hear a lot about that band, and I have the Granny one, which I will play for a minute or two, just to kind of give everybody a shot of it. But all great music, you know. First, tell us about the new band, or is this a new band, or is this something that's been kind of out and about?
Yeah, well, it started out the story goes like this: Granny Fourbarrel was playing a show at the Whiskey pre-pandemic, like I think it was in November 2019. And we played a show. Wendy Dio was there. We were super stoked that she was there. So we played Stand Up and Shout by Ronnie Dio.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved the track and invited us back in 2020 to play the Ride for Ronnie event, which was the charity event they have. And they have a few things. Last year, 2020, was a big year for the Ronnie Dio clan because it was the 10th year anniversary of his passing.
Right.
There were all kinds of events planned. It all got shut down. So I was still in Ronnie Dio mode. I was excited to play the show, do something for the charity. And I called David Bendith, the producer, and I was like, dude, like, we can't play anywhere, so why don't we record a song?
Mm-hmm.
We pitched the idea to Wendy. She loved it. We said, hey, let's just do this song. Hopefully she loves it when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
If they approve it and the charity approves it, we'll donate, we're good to go. We'll get their stamp on it. We donate all the proceeds to the to the charity. So there you are.
Wow.
Let me, I got to say, I enjoy yourself with Granny Fourbarrel, of course, but you hit a completely new level with that Dio cover, man. Wow. Your voice was so unbelievable, so strong. It really was, man. It's very impressive.
Oh, thanks, man.
Very impressive, yeah.
Ronnie,
it sounded great.
Appreciate that. And, well, the players on that, all-star guys, two guys from Evanescence, Aaron Pauly from Of Mice and Men, and guitar player out of Detroit, Sammy Baller. So it was an all-star lineup. Now, to answer your question, it started out as it was just like a one-off kind of collaboration. Oh, let's just do this. But then we had so much fun. Will Hunt, the drummer from Evanescence, and I have continued forward. So we've recorded two more songs, which we're about to release next month. But this time, we had so much fun with it. We said, you know what, why don't we pick... We can record some originals, too, and we're working on that as well. But why don't we get a couple covers? They're easier to put together. Mm-hmm. But let's put old-school covers that videos were never done for.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not do a Zoom-style video this time. Let's actually do, like, a full production video like Granny Fourbarrel does. Like, top shelf, do it pro, and we're about to do that as well. So you're going to see a couple more. So now I got two bands.
Let me ask you. So when the time comes and you're writing songs, is there a different mindset for writing for each band or do you write something and then go, oh, this belongs here? Like how does that work for you?
The latter. Yeah. It's like we write something and say, what does it fit? Well, what will it fit better for? But I mean, it's both entities are hard rock, metal. Cool. Anyway.
Yeah, but the Granny stuff is a little different with the violin and
theatrical.
It's definitely more theatrical. So that's why I wondered, like, do you have to write differently or is just shit? This is what comes out of me. I'll figure where it goes later.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys saw the Granny show.
Oh, amazing!
Even though it's theatrical and shock rock, it's still metal. So.
Yes.
I mean, and again, Wendy Dio saw us as Granny Fourbarrel.
Oh,
so
right.
When we played a Ronnie Dio cover.
Oh.
We were dressed, for the nines as Granny, as the stock act. So I think it just works because either entity, I feel like whenever each band plays, I'm going to play songs from each catalog anyways. Why not?
Well, let me ask you this question. This just blew my mind. Could Granny Fourbarrel open up for Leroy 13?
Oh yeah, dude. we've talked about that or vice versa, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know it's the same band.
Well, yeah. Will there be problems? Will the bands fight with each other? Could there be more? Who wants to be top biller? It could be a little bit of stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly doable. The only potential issue is whether Granny can keep her voice. That long.
Yes.
So, we're going to do a couple-hour show back-to-back.
Well, I will tell anybody out there, Jeff and I saw Granny, this is going back, I think, 2018.
Right.
Jeff and I saw Granny at Dingbats in Clifton. And in 2019, Nikki and I went to the city, and we saw Granny do the showcase. I can't think of the name. The West
was it Kingsland?
End.
Was it Kingsland?
No, it was like the end line. The Bitter End? The Bitter End?
Bitter End, maybe?
Yeah, it was in the village. It was down in the village. You were doing a showcase in this little basement place.
It was
hot as hell.
But
the show was great. And afterwards, now it wasn't as much fun as the first time when Jeff and I got to hang out with you guys on the bus and we had a blast. But I still have the pictures from that. But the show was great. And, I love it. So now I'm even more stoked with the new band because I feel like it's kind of, you know, thrown off the robe and let's go out there and, you know, do the old metal stuff. So will there be more originals coming soon? What are we expecting?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the good things that happened from the pandemic for us was, well, we're not going to stop. Let's just keep writing. So
right.
We're sitting on a pretty large cache of tunes. And plus with the, you know, the Leroy 13 thing, the covers are great. We just pick them out and you can knock them down in a few weeks.
Mm.
Just, you know, just rehearse them, figure out what you're going to do to change it up and make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great songs from 30, 40 years ago to pick from.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And Santa Michelle, it's not a song, Jeff, that you kind of hear all the time being covered. You know, there's a lot of Dio songs covered. That's not one you hear covered, Jeff, all the time.
No, not at all. And after Senior, as a Granny Four Barrel, it's more of a theatrical element to your show. And now when you're doing a cover like this, are we going to see more of your influences come out? You know, like, and who are your influences? Evidently, it's got to be Dio, because you pretty much hit that one right on the head.
Yeah.
Like, what else do we expect? In what vein are you going to be writing it?
Yeah, you can expect. So what I'd like to revive is I would love to resurrect a classic rock sound, but it's all refreshed. It's new. Mm-hmm. So it's got elements of the vintage sound from classic rock days, but it's recorded, obviously, with modern technology and maybe just a hint of modern elements mixed in it. And then I get to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I truly love, which is in Ronnie Dio style, or any of those singers from back in the day, Dickinson, Halford,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Tate, guys like that. Those are the singers I grew up with, and mm-hmm. those are the guys I really love to sing. So you're going to see more of my influences, especially in the next track.
Nice. Are we leaking that out anytime soon, or do we know what those tracks
are? Well, I'll tell you this. One song is a Journey song that's never been redone, to my knowledge.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you might think Journey and go, oh, I mean, it's not one of the hits. It's a B-cut.
Wow.
But back in the day when Steve first joined the band,
oh,
and there was some, like, crazy singing on that version of the song, and I really loved that. I always wanted to sing it. Searching on YouTube, and I was like, there's not even one version of this. No one's ever done it. So
wow.
we made it more metal. And if you strip down the elements from Journey and you just listen, you take the keyboard away,
yep.
for example, and you just listen to it, it's four-piece rock band. And we just kind of stripped away some of the pop elements from Journey and made it a little more metal. And then the other track is a Rainbow track.
Ooh.
So Richie Blackmore.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
with Dio singing.
I was just gonna ask that. So yeah, good stuff. So yeah, Jeff and Tom sitting here with our good friend Terry Leroy, and he's talking about his new band Leroy 13, and their cover of "Stand Up and Shout" by Dio. It's a great song, and the video was a lot of fun. I played it to open the show tonight, so check it out on the replay. Of course, go out on YouTube, and Terry will give you all the websites shortly. I want to play a little bit of the Granny song, so I feel like I want to hear it. One, two. I like everybody. Kind of got a lot of people listening right now. So if you guys don't mind, let me just shift over, play a little Granny. We'll come right back.
Yeah, dude.
And let's see if I find it. There it is.
Let's go.
And we're back. I could have played that whole song five times. It wouldn't kill me. I tell you, Terry, your voice is just it jumps off the page, especially when the alter ego is singing. Your voice it just shocks you that's what's coming out of Granny Forbath. It's amazing. And guys, live is as good as what you're hearing right now because I've seen it twice. So there's no doubt in my mind. You know, is there something does the Granny persona hold you back at all? Is there a downside to the Granny other than obviously wearing a very heavy coat and wig?
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Tommy. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun making the video.
Oh.
You know, Granny's like, you guys know, I mean, it's like, I feel like Granny, there's a lot of psychology underneath Granny. I think it exemplifies the best parts of rock and roll. It's like freedom of expression. It's fuck you to stereotypes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's rock and roll, man. It's unhinged. It's shock rock. And
yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. In fact, I feel like I can get away with more with Granny than I can with the normal guy, the serious rock guy.
Right.
So I love that. I think that completes my personality. So yeah, I guess I'm fucking crazy. I have a full personality. I need to be two people. I need to be me and an old woman.
Well, listen, we aspire to be a lot of things around here. I'm not, you know, I don't know if I put that one in there, but what the hell? Whatever makes your day go fast, Terry, I'm all for it. So, but I don't know. For me, I think for the last thing is, you know. How do I say this? All right, the bands. So with the Granny, I've seen two different versions of the Granny band. How important is it for you, chemistry-wise, to keep the same people album to album, recording to recording, show to show? Is it important, or to you, is it just give me good players and we'll make it work?
Well, honestly, if I had my choice, I would always just keep the same band. I love the whole band atmosphere, team effort. It's hard to do.
Oh,
especially
now.
These days.
Yeah, and absolutely.
When the musicians are all working musicians and they're in multiple projects just trying to make ends meet, it's really hard to do. But one constant in Granny Four Barrel that's really important to me is that violin player, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
He's vital for the, I don't know, just that added quirkiness and that other visual element, because you don't generally see a violin player in a metal band. But yet I think it's very metal. And you saw him play Eruption.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God, absolutely. The guy's a fantastic player. And, you know, you think of a metal band and then I don't see a bass player. I'm like, wait a second. I see a guitar player. Okay, the fiddle player. Where they hide the bass player? And all of a sudden there's no bass player.
I know. Nothing against bass players, Jeff. Nothing, seriously. When we went to, I had a version of Granny Four Barrel that had been performing. We went, this was a few years back, we were recording down at Kennesaw, Georgia in Jesse James Dupree's studio, and that band broke up. So I was like, okay, so who are we going to get? So I had Chase, so we still had the violin, we had the violin player. We did not. I had to get another. So the band, so we had a different grouping. One person that we couldn't fill quickly was a bass player. But that's okay because we said, well, we'll just have the guitar player play the bass parts and we'll figure that out later. But then we got used to not having the bass player and we weren't ready to make a choice yet. So when we went out on tour, we said, well, fuck it. Just play it on a backing track. And then we were like, hey, it used to be a five-piece band. Well, now it's only four, and that was easier for touring. So we just did it that way. But again, I mean, if I had my choice, I would just have a bass player. And I love to keep the same guys when I can.
Okay, but it's not the be-end all. If you got to go out with a new group of guys, they're all talented musicians, they pull it together as long as they buy in. Jeff, you got something else for Terry?
Okay. No, not right now, man.
Okay. So Terry, so what's up next? Okay, are we pushing out more songs for one or the other? Are we getting on tour? What's coming up in the next few months that we can be looking forward to?
Yeah, so management's working, talking to promoters, agents. We're working on a tour. I don't have anything yet, but things are starting to heat up, as you know, out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they fired up like just a couple of weeks ago. It was boom. Now everybody's out on the road.
Yeah.
The show's open back up. The next thing you're going to see is a song from Leroy 13 with a video, like not a Zoom video, but like a real video.
Okay.
So sit tight for that. And I think what we're going to do is just kind of jump from one to the other project. I mean, why not?
Sure. Sure.
Works. We're having fun with it. Granny Four Barrel runs its course on a single. Then we insert Leroy 13 and then just keep going.
Are you afraid that one is going to take away from the other? Like if you start to ride a high and you're leaving the other behind for a while, you'd be like, I got to go pay attention to this one. It's going to take away from the upswing of another one, so to speak.
Well, I haven't thought that far ahead. I feel like what will happen is whichever one catches fire the most, that's going to get most of our attention. And we could circle back.
Yeah.
Because when one becomes popular, well, by virtue of that, hopefully the other one does too. So when the one runs its course or it's time to stop touring, it's like, oh, we could still keep going with this now. And hopefully the fan base has increased enough to bring some other folks over to the other project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, being a Granny fan, now hearing this, you got me on board. So, yeah, I can see how you can definitely cross over because it's metal. Whether it's the same metal or not, it's still metal, and your voice is constant between the two. So if you're a fan of one, you can't help but be a fan of both.
That's cool. Well, that's the hope.
Well, we hope it's a big success. And now hopefully, things stay as they are and people get out there and whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, get out there and spend some money and support the bands, as we always say out here, and have some fun. Hopefully you get out there and do some summer tours. Maybe by the fall, at the very least, you're out there playing someplace. We'd love to see it. Of course, if you get in this area again, you know I'm coming out because I support your stuff. I love it.
Well, we love you guys, and I always appreciate your support. We've had some great interviews, and we'll still have some fun, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll have to just decide show to show whether we bring it on Granny or we bring it on Terry. We'll have to have some fun with that, Jeff.
There you go.
Yeah. So hopefully next time we get Granny back on again, she was a lot of fun and can't ask for anything more. That was some great shit back then.
Yeah, dude, you remember that Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
We still talk about that off the air all the time. So. Hey, Terry, where can people keep up? You have a website? You got any social media? Where can people find out about both of your projects?
Yeah, all the social media templates, all the streaming platforms. Just Google Leroy 13, my name, or Granny Four Barrel. And it's all there, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify.
Awesome.
Websites, all of it.
Beautiful. Terry, listen, we wish you tremendous success. You're a good guy and an amazing talent. We have no doubt that you're going to be doing some big things in the near future. We hope to be part of it. And obviously, anytime you're in this area, please let us know. We'd love to come out and see you perform like we have in the past. And please, don't be a stranger. We love having you on the show.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate all the support and I love you guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
And do us a favor. Say hello to Granny for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, by the way, I got a signed picture from Granny. I need a signed picture from you for the studio when you get a chance.
Oh yeah, dude.
I'll send you out the some info. Maybe you can kick something back this way.
That sounds good.
You're the best, Terry. Enjoy. Good luck, and please stay in touch.
Have a great night, guys.
You too.
Later, man.
Terry Leroy, Leroy 13, Granny Four Barrel. That's out there. Jeff, good guy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good guy and great. You know, you don't realize how good his voice is until you hear him sing.
Oh, without
that stand up and shout cover. Holy cow. He had a couple of notes, but I get the hand back and the neck was standing up.
Yeah, you know, dude, it's amazing because his voice, like to make a perfect analogy, his voice was as good as the New York Giants are bad.
God,
you know,
God,
it was like from
you're
one
jerk,
to the
you really are like, a jerk. Wow. You really, it's taken you 55 years, but you're just a colossal jerk off. You really are. You
well,
just are
just
colossal
being
jerk.
Completely honest.
Listen.
Being completely honest here, we had to talk about fucking doctoring up baseballs and everything else, and that's cool. That's big in the news. But I'm just, what else is big in the news is that the the New York Giants just, you know, like, that's it. They need the blue pill.
We're going to be talking a lot of football right after our next interview. We got Morpheus Tilly popping up. I have my top 10 list. I am looking forward to that.
You sound like fucking Cole getting interviewed last night. Come on.
It's right here. Top 10. My top 10 list is right there.
Okay.
I absolutely prepared for that one. I thought it was actually a great little topic for the night. Why it's a good one, Jeff? Because this week, most of the teams are out there doing their veteran mini camps. After that, it kind of you get quiet till training camp opens up.
Yeah, it'll start to get quiet.
I think the big thing for me,
though, that I've been hearing, though, in the time being, just make you like sit there and shake your head and real quick. Sure. I know we don't have much time of it, but all of a sudden now,
yep,
in the middle of June, Deshaun Watson announces that he wants to be a Denver Bronco.
Here it is again, Jeff. You know, I guarantee you the Texans want to trade him.
Of course they do.
Now what he's doing, Jeff, is making it look like it's his idea to be traded. It's making it like, I don't want to be here. Nothing to do with the fact that 22 people accused him of forceful touching, but, you know, now he wants to be traded.
How about this? First of all, they went out, they kept Drew Lock, they went out and they got Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
That's one.
Yep.
Two, Aaron Rodgers makes his availability or wants to be available and to get out of there. And Denver's a big place, hot spot for him to go to. Okay, that's another thing.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden Deshaun Watson comes back in the middle of June. People are starting to plan their season.
Absolutely.
Who they have on the team.
100%.
Now the Denver Broncos are supposed to sit and be like, now you want to come over here? You may never play football again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And now you want to announce that this is where you want to get the fuck out. I would have turned around and be like, no.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listen, I agree with you. Same thing for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer. If he wants to play. If you're Aaron Rodgers, Jeff, you're 38 years old, you're not sitting out this year and hoping to be traded next year. You know, you're not going to sit out a season. So either you're going to play this year or you're going to be done.
Of course, but you can't compare Deshaun Watson to Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers wants to go someplace, okay, and he's like, you know what, I'm not playing in Green Bay anymore.
Yep.
Okay, Green Bay sooner or later is going to be like, you know what, we're going to get some picks. We're going to get some collateral for this guy.
Yeah.
So we're going to make the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson, he's young and he's this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden, all of this stuff comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes, they wanted to hold on to him because they figured, okay, he may be expensive this year or next year, but after that, he's going to start, the price is going to come down a little bit because it's going to be, more than competitive. And then all of this happens. So it's like, how do you move on from, what do you do? You know, and the window to have traded him is slammed shut. It's done.
Yeah, I think both guys are going to wind up on their team. Now, I don't know if, you know, Deshaun Watson is even going to be playing football this year. We still don't know, and I think I'm shocked that the NFL hasn't reacted quicker. So we'll see how that plays out. But Aaron Rodgers is a Green Bay Packer this year.
First of all, let me ask you something.
Yeah, I've got to get a guest. Go ahead.
What's that?
We got about a minute before we got to pick up our guest. Okay.
When it comes to having fights and airing everything out, most people do it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your take on Deshaun Watson and these 22 women doing this on Instagram? This to me is more like saying like it's a high school level bullshit case that's going on.
Yeah.
Because they took to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is all of a sudden Twitter's not good for this? Facebook isn't good for this? So I'm going to go to Instagram? You know what I mean?
No, I get it. I get it. If this is a real case, it shouldn't be. This should not be out in public. Certainly shouldn't be on social media. Listen.
No, it never should. But it's the point of the platform that you're going on, which is Instagram.
Yeah.
Are you serious? What are you going to do? Post pictures of yourself not touching anybody?
I get it. It's ridiculous, and that's why I think NFL needs to step up, Jeff, quickly and make a decision. Deshaun Watson is playing. He's getting a suspension of three games. For the season.
The NFL has to be turning around thinking to themselves, like, what the fuck do we do here?
22
women, but yet some of them didn't want to be exposed, but now they got to expose all of them.
Yep.
Everything is being fought and argued about on Twitter. One minute they're coming up with settlements. Next minute, no, they're not talking settlements.
Yeah, and it's going to be not going to hit the courts until next year. So that's the big problem.
I honestly... You know what I think? I don't know if the guest is on there yet.
He's here. I'm going to pick him up right after you finish your comments.
Real quick. All right. I think that the whole decision is based on race at this point in time with everything that's going on.
Okay, oh,
that's
really?
One thing. I do, because if they're wrong, mm-hmm. they're going to look racist. If they're right, well, then they're going to say it was a witch hunt. So I think they have to go as slow as they can and let it unfold. I don't think they could do anything at all at this point in time.
I got
with
you.
Life the way it is, any sooner.
But the problem is, then you're letting them pitch, and then you're going to have the women's groups, the Me Too movement, screaming and yelling that he's playing
they
football.
Haven't screamed and yelled yet.
I got you, but he's not playing football, earning money yet. Once he starts earning money, you know, don't forget, Jeff, this case doesn't go to court till they don't start taking depositions till next year. So.
Well. They're not taking his till next
correct,
year.
But that's the main one. So that means, does NFL let him play?
The girls are going to be going starting September.
Oh, absolutely. But so are they going to have him out there playing football every week, getting, you know, let's say his team is winning, he's making millions of dollars, and then he's going through this. Baseball, football's
Except
in a tough spot.
He ain't going to be playing.
I agree with that. I think football eventually's got to come out and say,
out because
they have to.
Not going to want him to be fucking injured, because one way or another, yeah, I think he's already played his last game for the Texans.
I would agree with that. The question is, for how long is he on the commission is exemplarist for this year, and then after this is all over, they suspend him for a year. I mean, theoretically, he could be out two seasons.
Antonio Brown, the fucker's got a Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? So there's a few more girls this time around. Okay, and I don't mean to say it that way because it's bullshit, but
I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying. But listen,
let's get to our guest,
and then we'll come back to this. We got plenty of football to get to. We'll talk about LeBron. I want to talk. Let's see what else I got. LeBron. We got the Yankees and the Mets. We got the basketball series. We got the Islanders four wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals. So we got a lot of sports to get to. We're going to get it all in tonight. But first, we're going to bring on our guest. He's from a band signed by one of our, you know, probably our favorite record label, everybody down at the RFL Records. Jeff, you know how much we love the RFL record label. They're talking the Fast Lane Show every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. Make sure you check them out. It's a great job. John does an amazing job, and once in a while he has that other guy, that other character, Doug, on. They do a nice job together. But we have one of their bands on. We played their video a couple weeks ago, Dirty Mary, from the band Mojo Alice. And, of course, Jeff, this is our first band live. He is tomorrow. He is so in the future. He's tomorrow. I wonder if he could tell us who's going to win all the games tonight, because he's tomorrow, Jeff. So he can give us a heads up on who's winning tonight.
About those fucking games. If he's going to tell me anything, it better be some lottery numbers.
Yeah. So maybe he can give us the
lottery
numbers.
I don't care who wins the games tonight.
Well, let's have some fun with our friend Morpheus Tilly from the band Mojo Alice, and he's sitting somewhere in New Zealand. Morpheus, welcome to the Hard Rock and Sports Show.
What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm in Wellington, New Zealand.
Wellington, New Zealand. So tell us a little bit about Wellington, New Zealand, and New Zealand itself. We know nothing. So we'd like tell us a little something about what's happening in New Zealand right now.
Well, it's our capital city, so it's where the parliament sits, and on a good day, it's probably one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And when there's a southerly storm coming through, it's hell on earth. It's cold as hell. So it's sort of, you know,
no,
good and bad place to live. But, you know, people are great.
It's funny when this is not obviously a knock on in New Zealand. I mean, but when I think of rock bands and bands of your ilk, New Zealand doesn't jump off the page at me. So how does a bunch of people, I know you got yourself and Brody and Jem, and I want to say it's
Matty Ray.
Okay. I knew I couldn't. So how do you four get together and create the great music you guys do being from New Zealand? Tell us a little bit about the influences. What were you guys listening to that got you to where you guys are today?
Well, there is a rock scene in New Zealand, but it's really, we're more a country that's into reggae and and, you know, dub and sort of drum and bass,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of stuff like that. And with the vanilla crowd, there's Fleetwood Mac and Elton John. There's plenty of people that like that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the rock stuff, yeah, there's plenty of rockers in New Zealand, no doubt about it. And AC/DC always sell out their stadiums here when they play. So there's a big following. But for us, we got together, as you do, just, you know, ads on the internet. And so Jem and I hooked up. And then Brody came on board, and then we got Maddie in about 2 years ago, well, over 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about the influences. What's the influences for you guys growing up? So is there a lot of rock bands coming through? If the music there is more reggae, it's more vanilla, how do you guys get the influences you got? Like, where are you listening to AC/DC? What are the other bands you guys grew up listening to?
Well, it's the same all over the world. New Zealand's always had the big bands come through. I mean, you know, Zeppelin came here in 72, just one tour. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we get everybody through. It doesn't matter who it is. Motorhead's played here in the 80s and 90s and into the 2000s. It's my influences. I mean, I've got older brothers and sisters. So I grew up in a household with Bachman, Turner Overdrive, and Deep Purple, Led Zepp, you know, Black Sabbath. So I had all that stuff as a child pumping out of the house.
Mm.
So I bring that to the band. Brody and Maddie are more recent. They're a bit younger than me. So they're, you know, the Lamb of God and Pantera,
mm-hmm.
your Black Label Society. We all love Ozzy. We're all AC/DC fans. Jem's a big Meatloaf fan. She loves Joan Jett. And, you know, the current bands that we really like that are like us, we, you know, obviously we love Hailstorm and the Pretty Reckless are the two bands that we really look up to, female singers. And, of course, in New Zealand, we've got Devilskin's our premier heavy metal band at the moment.
Now, Jeff, and by the way, jump in, Jeff, anytime. I'm just kind of throwing stuff coming to my head here. But how do you guys, as a smaller band, trying to get out there? Now, it's got to make it a little easier today with social media.
Yeah.
But with, you know, the getting the name of the band out, the music out, how difficult is it? Where you guys are, is it something where you kind of gotta uproot and go someplace else to really kick it in, or because of social media gives you more of a leg up on it?
Yeah, it does. And you can, you know, the good thing about the music industry now is anyone can put their music out, which I think is a positive, because you get to hear some great artists that you wouldn't through the old system, through record companies.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to have the songs. I think,
yes.
you know, for us,
mm-hmm.
We're really hard on ourselves, so when we write, we make sure that it sounds good to us. And we try not to have any filler tracks on our records, you know. So we work really hard to get the arrangements right and the melodies right. So far, so good. But I just think it's all about the quality of the product, you know, and you've got to have a brand. And we feel we've got a little niche in the market. I mean, Jem's voice is just, she's just got an amazing voice.
Oh, absolutely. And, yes, it does stand out. And I think that's the problem. You're right that so many people out there are recording their music and getting it out onto the internet that you got to have something that just jumps out and kind of clears the path to give you a little bit more of get more people paying attention to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Jem's voice, yeah, agreed. She's got a great voice. I love the bands, the music and the style. Tell us a bit about being on RFL Records. How'd you guys hook up with John and everybody there? And to me, one of the better independent labels out there, the best.
Oh, that would be amazing. I just, you know, want to give a shout out to John and Doug and Jeff as well. Jeff Westlake, we've been working with him recently. He's been remixing our album, but I'll get onto that shortly. We met Doug we did a podcast with the Mary Holt, and Doug was on there. Being really positive in his exuberant way, and then we just got chatting, and one thing went to another and led to another, and we ended up with RFL. But it's just, for us, it's just a great match. You know, these guys are passionate, really supportive. As a band, we're like a family,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we see RFL as well.
Oh,
so,
great people.
It's just been perfect, actually. It's going really well.
Yeah, Doug's great. He's got one... Jeff, would you call it a weakness? He's got one issue that I wish he could fix, and it's, you know, you guys are over there, you're safe from the NFL. I don't know if you guys are big sports fans, but, you know, Doug roots for a team here that's, you know, kind of a fraudulent team.
He's not a Giant fan.
Yeah, it's kind of a fraudulent thing. They call themselves America's team, but it's kind of a bullshit thing. The last time they won anything, I don't even think any of us were born then. When Doug's team won something, it's kind of sad, Morpheus. How is the sport? Give us a little something about sports out there. What do you? What's the big sport? What's the national sport of New Zealand?
Oh, we're rugby crazy in our country. So, you know, we've got the All Blacks. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the All Blacks, but they're sort of like the world leaders. Have, you know, won a couple of World Cups. So rugby's huge, netball, soccer, football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people follow the NFL, and we have a sports show Monday to Friday on telly that always covers the baseball and the basketball and the NFL in America.
Okay.
The rugby league's big, but, you know, everybody's into everything here. For a country of 5 million people, I think per head of population, we've got some amazing sports people.
Huh.
You know, some real world leaders. But it's a great environment to play sport in New Zealand. Climate's good.
But and the music seems even better. And I tell you, I got to listen to some of the new album. It's killer. Tell us about it. I know you're working, you're working with the guy that I think, Doug, you're 5-time champs. Yeah, I got you. Doug. You know, Doug, keep telling yourself all that, Doug. You're all right. You could be worse, Doug. You could be a Jets fan.
You gotta give somebody. I have no dog in this fight, but I gotta say, man, Doug, he's so deeply involved with the Giants. It's a shame he doesn't want to see it. He's blind that everybody else sees it.
Yo,
this team is gonna finish fourth place in the division this year.
I should have had John come on the phone to help me out today. John would help me out, but that's okay.
John, listen. It's unfortunate. John's a great guy, nice guy, but his Steelers win 11, 12 games, and then he comes on and he complains that they didn't win every game they ever played. It's like, you just can't make a Steelers fan happy. It's unbelievable.
He's got a point, John. He does have a point. But Morpheus, tell us, I know you've been working with the evil genius, Jeff Westlake. I mean, the guy goes in, comes out, there's beautiful music everywhere. Jeff's a great guy and an amazing musician. Tell us a little bit about working with Jeff on this album.
It's been bloody good fun, actually. For us, you know, because we basically wrote all that album ourselves, and we gave it to Jeff, and obviously we're really passionate about it. And he's come out with some really good, fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound, the sonically, my goodness, the album's got a big, huge pair of balls now. It's just got big, kick-ass drums and Jim's voice, Brody's guitar, Maddie's bass just pumping through. So I was just having a listen to Dirty Mary on iTunes this morning because, you know, it's just been released. Sonically, it sounds fantastic. So he's done a brilliant job, and he's a great guy. He's one of the brothers now. We've all sent each other voice messages under the influence, and I think that's when you do that, you're part of the family then, aren't you?
Absolutely. And that, he's Morpheus Tilly. He's from the band Mojo Alice. He's the drummer. He's with Jeff Towinski, Tom Flory here on the Hot Rockin' Sports Show. We're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. We look forward to talking some more tonight. We got a lot of football to get to. We got a lot of other music to get to, a lot of stuff tonight to get to tonight. Remember, we got other guests coming up in the near future. Danny Zielinski. We got Sammy Lee from Red Rain. Somebody else coming up in the near future. But I don't know. I'll figure out, put something out. But right now, we're talking to Morpheus about the new album. I think it comes out on July 9th, Liquid Sin. And tell us right now, first of all, I know you can go to rforecords.com, but where else can people find Mojo Alice and everything going? By the way, you have to tell me, after you tell me that, where'd you come up with what does Mojo Alice mean? But tell us first where you can find more information about you guys and the music.
Well, we've got a website, obviously, as most bands do, Facebook page. So Mojo Alice band.com is our website, and you can sign up to email and be part of the fan group there. We've got Mojo Alice on the Facebook. There's the Mojo Mofos, which is our private fan group there, which basically Doug runs now, and he's bloody hard case with his posts and that. Our music, I think Dirty Mary's out on most digital platforms today. And then the album comes out on the 9th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So the name Mojo Alice, it sort of came about. Well, we're all blues fans, and you know, there's a lot of, you can feel, you can hear the blues running through the music with us. I mean, I'm a big blues fan, Muddy Waters and Howling Wolf in particular, you know, those guys. So the Mojo is really about the blues and all that sort of the themes and stuff that runs with that. And then the Alice, originally it was about Alice in Wonderland and the themes that run through that book and how crazy it is. Because it's quite similar to being in a band. I mean, being in a band and, you know, traveling, playing all these shows, it's kind of random sometimes, and all sorts of stuff happens as musicians know that you got to be prepared for. So Alice in Wonderland is sort of a bit of a fantasy thing that runs with that. So, and also I think with, you know, Jem being our lead singer, she really adds that Alice element to it as well.
Okay, it's just an interesting name, and thank you for telling us. First off, before I go over any further, make sure that Doug doesn't try to put any of his cowboy stuff into your, you know, no logos. It's a killer here in the United States. People really hate his team. I can't say it enough. It bothers me because I think you guys are a great band, and I just hope that that Doug doesn't try to get any cowboy stuff into it. So please do me a favor. Make sure you keep the cowboy logo off of your stuff.
All right, I will make sure.
Thank you very much, Murphy. That's what I need to hear. But let me ask you, we're working with, working with Jeff, I'm curious. Now, Jeff's an established guy. He's played all over the country. He's put out some great music. When he's producing your stuff and you guys are sending it to him and he's kicking it back, do you guys have – are you comfortable saying to him, hey, Jeff, I don't want to do it that way. We don't want it to sound that way. You know, Jeff is a great musician. I've listened to all of his stuff, and but in his ear, maybe it's one thing. Do you guys have it with you to say, hey, that's not what we want, or do you go with what he tells you?
No, well, we try and meet in the middle. He's been fantastic. He's done some stuff with the album that there's some things he sent to us that took us a while to get our head around. But in the end, you know, we sent him a check sheet to say, well, this is how we want it to sound, and he worked his way through it. And some things he changed and, you know, back the way it was, and other things we left. But he's got some great, really creative ideas, and he's put a really good beginning onto one of our songs called Not Into You, which we had never thought about, but we all liked it so much that we're going to use it in our live shows from now on. So, you know, it's toing, froing, really, you know. He listens, we listen, but ultimately the producer has, you know, he has the say, isn't he? He's the man. And, well, you know, we trust and respect them too.
Yeah, and it's good to have somebody like that who's done it in many ways with different projects on his own. Like I said, I'm not blowing smoke. I think Doug's a fantastic musician, a great producer. I love Hydrogen and stuff, his solo stuff, you know, everything. You know, I have yet to see it. And he really has some great – I don't know if you're a Kiss fan, but he sent me some of his Kiss covers, and they're amazing.
The way we recorded the album was because we didn't have a lot of money. We did it pretty bare bones. So he got these stem tracks to work with, and he's worked his ass off. I think he's got through a lot of screwball whiskey to deal with the pain and the misery we've given him. But sonically, he has made this album sound huge. And, I mean, as the drummer, my drum sound, I couldn't be happier. It's perfect. My bass drum is just, it's just mega, just the way I like it. It's clear and punchy and, you know, loud. So he's got skills, right there in those magic hands of his.
Well, he totally does.
And he is.
And I'll tell you something, it sounds great. Doug, I want to thank Doug for getting it. I break Doug's balls. He's a great guy. Along with all the people at RFL, I've yet to meet anybody at RFL Records that I wouldn't say aren't great people. So thank you to everybody down there for supporting the Hard Rock and Sports Show by sending us all these great musicians and letting us hear some music beforehand. But the album comes out on the 9th. I don't know what's going on in New Zealand, but are there concerts going on? Is there stuff happening? Will you guys be getting out and doing some shows locally? And is there any talk about getting you guys off the island or off whatever New Zealand is and getting out here and getting someplace to play some shows?
Yeah, New Zealand's been sort of open for live gigs probably from August last year. We've been, you know, we're a small country. We were able to get on top of the COVID thing. So clubs and bars have been open. So bands are touring. And some comedians are coming over and doing their 2-week isolation and then doing tours. So there's one-man bands, and the bigger bands are coming through soon. For us, it's about probably looking into next year, because we're currently writing for our next album, which we're hoping to get out at sort of early next year. So we're working with Jeff on that now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone from our previous album, which he's remixed and remastered and made sound amazing. And then we're, we've got new tracks that we'll have ready to go at the beginning of next year, or early into next year anyway.
Outstanding. So the new album's not even out yet. You're already working on the next one. And I got plans for that. And then hopefully things will be wide open. And with some help from the people at RFL, you guys will get out there and play this stuff live. I can't wait to hear the next set of music. And, I can't wait to see you guys play live. Hopefully we'll get that down the road.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it too. Yeah, it's one thing about, getting out of the country and touring through the U.S. We're really looking forward to being able to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Guys, Hard Rock and Sports here, Jeff, Tom, and Morpheus. We're going to wrap this up and say goodbye to our good friend. But you have to promise us one thing. Besides getting us some new music, Jeff and I need the lottery numbers. So when you hang up, our lottery doesn't come out for a couple hours. So send it to us now so we can run out and play it. Because you guys are what, like 12 hours ahead? So you already know what's happened here today, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, 12:36 in the afternoon, Friday afternoon here.
Yeah, so it's Thursday night here at 8:30. So whatever, when the lottery goes off 11 o'clock tonight, you have the numbers for us now. Give it to us, right, Jeff? I mean, share the wealth.
I'd love to be up there. I'd be joining in too if that's the way it works. Now, the only thing I can tell you is the weather's good. It's not, and it's not too cold, being that we're heading into winter here.
Yeah, it's hot as hell here. It's been 90s out here, Morpheus. But that's what happens when you get close to the summertime here in the New York area. But listen, we love the band. We played the Dirty Mary to open up. Once everything's officially out there, we'd like to get some more videos, play them before the show. I can't thank you, your band, everybody at RFL Records for being part of coming on the show and being part of this broadcast. And we wish you guys lots of luck and success. And please don't be a stranger. Please and spread the word in New Zealand about the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We don't talk a lot of rugby, but we can bring it in, right, Jeff? We can get a little rugby involved.
Yeah, go up and watch a little bit.
Your show is wild. Was it Carmine you had on about an hour ago? Was it the guy in the car?
Yes, that was Carmine. Yes.
He's badass. I'd love to go drinking with him. Yeah, that was good fun.
Let me tell you something. Carmine is as advertised. He is out of his freaking mind. if you get a chance to find him on Facebook and you follow him, his videos are just what you saw there. It's a lot of fun. So, but I appreciate you you popping on tonight. Again, you're welcome anytime. We're big fans, and we'll keep pushing the music here. And like I said, come back anytime you feel like you want to get something out there. We'd love to have you back.
Thanks, Tony.
Morpheus,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's Morpheus Tilly. He's a drummer with Mojo Alice in ARFORecords.com. And, of course, check out all the other websites. You'll catch them on. Morpheus, have a great day. You're in the daytime. My best to the rest of the band, and we'll see you soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Take care. There he goes, Morpheus Tilly. That's I'm going to say he's our good friend now. Jeff, it's been a couple of nice interviews. We had our good friend Terry Leroy. It felt funny calling Terry. You know, after we call him Granny for 4 years.
Yeah.
But thanks to all the RFL guys, John, Doug. I see Jeff Westlake popping up. I see Christine. I see everybody over at RFL watching tonight. So thanks, guys. Much appreciated as always. And I'll get to do a little panel with you guys again soon. So hopefully we'll get together again. But in the meantime, Hard Rock and Sports Show must move on. We have other things to do. Jeff, the show is yours. How would you like to proceed from here?
Well, what do you got on your list over there?
Well, we could talk about Kyrie Irving. We could talk about LeBron James. We could talk about Jim Fossil passing away, if you'd like to talk about Jim Fossil. We could talk a little more about Doctor in Baseballs. We could talk about we could do our top 10 NFL stuff if you like.
Whatever you want to hit.
Let's do our top 10. Let's do the top 10 stuff. Let's have some fun with that right now. Since we're in a little bit of an NFL talking mood, are you okay in your chair? I see you got that grimacing face like you're holding back. The dam is holding back the logs.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
All right. So, Jeff, I have a top 10 list. You have a top 10 list.
Yes.
Would you like to recite your top 10 list first? Would you like to hear my top 10 things?
What I'd like to do is just we should each trade off. Because you don't know what we each got on the list, and maybe
okay, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fine. And we could comment after. So let's start with our top 10th Guys, this is our top 10 things we're looking forward to in the NFL this season. That's correct?
Keeping an eye on. I wouldn't say looking forward to, but my list isn't about looking forward. My list is about dissecting and shredding.
See, now I have a legitimate list. I guarantee you, folks, that this knucklehead is going to come up with a shredding the Giants thing. And that's fine if that's how he wants to play. I, as the straight, normal broadcaster, okay. Number 10.
Number 10, I was going to say go from 1.
No, to 10, no, we started at 10, working our way back. Doug, your record against the Giants means nothing. The Giants have won 2 Super Bowls since the last time you guys even smelled the Super Bowl.
By the time this season ends, the Cowboys, Doug. That's wrong, Doug. The Cowboys are going to be 71-47-2. Tom. Please.
All right. Number 10, I am looking forward to, as I always do, to seeing how the new crop of rookies do in the NFL this year. It's always been fun for me.
I want to, as we go through these,
yes.
I just want to, you know, whether you had it on your list or not. So, please.
Sure. Go ahead.
But go on.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing the new crop of rookies. I always, it's always, who's a bust? Who did they give it up on too early? Who's a guy that came out of nowhere? I love watching the rookies and see how they do, see what rookies can say on the field, who can't. To me, number 10, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's the 10th most thing I'm looking forward to this year, watching out for, is how the rookies do.
Okay. Right, well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't put mine in an order of 10 to 1.
Top 10 list. That's the idea of a top 10 list.
I jotted down 10 quick things, so I'm going to go from number 1 on to 10.
You do whatever you want.
So number 1 on my list that I'm watching for this year, believe it or not, is the NFC East.
Oh, there we go.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Here we go.
Okay? Because I don't think either one of the 4 teams in that division really did anything to set themselves apart from the other 3 in that division. Now, while I will give a slight nod to the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Skins over the Eagles.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to say that I don't see no more than 2 games separating first to last place.
Oh, my God.
That's my take on it.
That's your take
on it. I don't think that either one of these teams, they all have too many questions to me. Washington has no quarterback.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
Neither do the Cowboys.
Dallas and Cowboys, Dak is coming off an injury. And the Giants, let's face it, Dave Gettleman went into this season like this. And didn't do nothing to improve the team.
Oh my God.
And this is a huge year for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, absolutely is. I agree with that.
Next year at this time, we may be talking about their first-round pick.
Very possible.
So my biggest concern this year going into the season, and did you even mention the NFCs? Is it on your list?
Let's see. I don't know if I did. I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. I'm going to say that's a no.
Yes, I actually did. I did actually put the NFC East.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it? You can only comment on it if you put it down on your list.
It's on my list.
Okay, so go comment.
Okay, my comment on the NFC East is I think that the Redskins' defense is overrated. I think they have Fitzmagic, Fitztragic, and they will be probably the 3rd-place finisher in the division. The Cowboys, by sheer luck, will be number 2 because they have no choice. They'll be a little bit better than the other 2 dregs of the division. If Ezekiel Elliott isn't fumbling the football, Dak will probably be tripping over his wallet because he's now got his contract. Mike McCarthy is a joke of a coach. I think the Giants will win the division by 3 games, easy.
I'm hoping Nate Solder comes back and has a career year.
Here's the thing: Nate Solder doesn't even have to play this year. How about that? Nate Solder will be the swing tackle.
Nate Solder's going to play because they fucking paid him. They're paying him some money.
But, yeah, absolutely.
You know, listen, that may be for a topic further.
Absolutely. I'm just giving the top. So, okay. My number 9, because I did this in order. My number 9 is seeing how the Patriots bounce back from an unpatriot-like season.
Oh, okay. But I did not put that one down, although I do have a category here, biggest improvement. But I didn't mean the Patriots by that, so I can't comment on this one. So, but Tom, please elaborate on your pick. Yeah, I go put my air conditioner on.
God, I think the fact that the Patriots coming off a subpar season, no playoffs, getting back eight guys who were on COVID, took a break for COVID last year, a free agency that was sort of spending money like crazy, drafting a quarterback, re-signing Cam Jones. I think the Patriots are an enigma. I have no idea what to expect out of the Patriots this year. So to me, does Belichick go all in for this year and then ride off into the sunset? The division's better. I think obviously the Bills are the best team in the division. The Dolphins should be better. I actually think the Jets will be better, but they have no choice but to be better. When you win two games, you got to be better. You can't be much worse. So, choice, but it's where do the Patriots fall in that division? That's why I think that division is such a watching the Patriots in that division is so huge for me. I put it on my number nine pick. Go ahead, Jeff.
There we go.
You realize it's June, right? Not December.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Okay, what's your second?
My second one is quarterbacks.
Okay.
I'm going to keep a strong eye out on Carson Wentz, Goff, Stafford, Big Ben, Cam, Brady. These are all quarterbacks that I have a lot of questions for. I can't turn around and get into specifics about each one because we know what the answers are. Is Wentz anything? Does he rebound on the Frank Reich? Did Goff need a change of scenery? Is Stafford worth the two number ones or three number ones? Big Ben? Is this guy's arm even hanging on anymore? Do they take it and take it out of a case for him? Cam Newton, the guy couldn't throw the ball over the fucking center's head last year, but yet England re-signs him. And then Brady, a lot of talk about his knee surgery.
40-something years old.
Season, well. You know, it makes you wonder, like, are they setting you up once again? Is this the year that they're going to be like, well, you know, he wasn't mobile in the first place. Now he's even less mobile because of the knee injury.
Uh-huh.
So my big thing this year is I'm going to be watching for some quarterbacks.
Oh, my number eight actually is how did off-season quarterback carousel work out? So I can comment on this one. And I agree with you, Jeff. I think what we're seeing is there's a lot of quarterback questions. I think you're right spot on with the Big Ben. I think Ben probably should have retired. And I think the Steelers realize they don't have much of a choice. Mason Rudolph is probably not the answer. So I think they're going all in for one more shot with Big Ben. I don't disagree. I think you can go around the league. The Jets, the Giants, there are teams out there with young quarterbacks that need to have big years. You can tell me a lot about Zach Wilson. I think there's a little pressure for him to immediately step up because of what happened with Sam Darnold. I don't think the Jets can afford to have a bad season. Not a great season needs to be had, though. But you're right. Wentz, Goff, Stafford, all these guys, you got two quarterbacks in New Orleans. Do you have any real quarterbacks in New Orleans? Tom Brady's out. I agree, Jeff. I think going into the season, this might be the weakest quarterback year, or let's say quarterback club, that I've seen in a long time, where the play of the quarterback I think is going to be down dramatically in a lot of places.
Well, time is going to tell with that one, but it's hard to disagree because a lot of people changed addresses.
Yeah.
A lot of people may be wondering why they're still at the same address.
Yeah.
And some people, but I don't want to get too much into that that encroaches upon some of my other subjects.
Okay. So let's move on.
Those separately.
Yeah. So my number eight was the off season quarterback carousel. So what's your third topic that you're looking out for this year, Jeff?
A third one would be Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Do they stay put at their present teams? Do they get traded? Are these guys both insane for making their trade demands so late in the offseason? I mean, like, I remember getting ready to watch the draft, and all of a sudden it was big news that Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't want to play in Green Bay anymore, and now it's draft night. Now you're throwing everybody into a flux, but everybody kind of threw him a curve. And, I mean, as far as we know, not even a call was made over to Green Bay. And then Deshaun Watson. not only do you say that you want to get traded, but you wait till there's 22 or 23 accusations of sexual harassment against her to announce that you will want to play, you know, gratefully for Denver, that you're picking Denver. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? This is after Denver went out and traded or whatever it is they did for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
And names have been possibly linked to Aaron Rodgers. What the fuck? What is going on?
Yeah, I think this is probably the biggest stories going into the off season. I mean, the Texans aren't a good team, but a lot of people were starting to move Deshaun Watson to the top of the league, or right there in that mix.
By the way, for the record, for the record, I am one of those people that did say when this came out that the Jets should consider.
Yes.
Trading up some of those number one picks that they had to get Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than ecstatic that they didn't do it. I don't know if I'm ecstatic that they have Zach Wilson, but I'm more than ecstatic that they do not have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing the Jets didn't need was a quarterback controversy of any type or any controversy with a new staff and hopefully a new attitude coming in this year. You're right, Jeff. I think it's huge for the Jets that they – did not get Deshaun Watson. First of all, I thought the price tag was going to be way too high anyway. But, yeah, I think in the end it worked out. I think the Aaron Rodgers one is the more confusing of it because, you know, I don't get what his problem is. I think he just doesn't want to play in Green Bay. His new Hollywood girlfriend doesn't want to be, you know, at Max McGee's, as somebody said today, Max McGee's in a restaurant in December in Green Bay. I get it. But to me, you know, the team's been in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. There's nothing wrong with this team other than just, you know, it's got a little bit of a defensive fault around the league. I think that's the most – I think if you and I were doing a training camp report show, which we'll do August the 5th, I think you and I would probably be opening with this as the top story. Does Aaron Rodgers show up for camp? Is Deshaun Watson allowed to show up for camp? I think that would be our biggest topic opening the show that night.
Very well, maybe.
Yep, let's move on. Let's move on. Again, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tommy, every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Keep checking us out. Please tell your friends about us. By the way, if you're a lady out there, I got a few women's T-shirts, Hard Rocket Sports T-shirts. If you want one, make sure you message me. If you're a guy and you want one for your wife, for your daughter, by all means, reach out to Jeff or I. I got a couple extra I can send out to you.
Speaking of fans in faraway places,
yes.
Is there any count on Israel this week?
I did not look, but I can if you'd like me to. I can check that out right now.
Let's get back to that. Let's stick with this. This is rolling pretty good.
Yeah. So, Jeff, my number seven topic of the show of that is I'm looking forward to seeing no social justice messaging. By the way, we did have a uptick in the Israel. We are now at 9.34%. Up from 9.2% last week. So we are definitely up. And we've got Germany has popped in. We have Germany now 0.82%. We are less than 1% there. But nonetheless, there's somebody in Germany is listening to the Hard Rocket Sports Show.
I would like to think at this point in time that these people in Israel, that everything that they're going through, that they are coming and listening to our soothing voices, our pretty faces, to help them get through one of their darkest times.
Well, that is good to hear, and I'm sure they are. And kind of strange that Israel and Germany are listening together, but hey, we bring people together, Jeff. That's what we do here at Hard Rock and
there
Sports.
You go, man.
Yeah, I'm
promote that shit.
Yeah, my next thing is I'm curious to see how the NFL. Handles social justice messaging year two. Is it now off the back of the helmets? Are we done seeing people kneel? Have we moved on from all of this now, Jeff? That's starting to creep up on the list. I want to see how it goes moving forward.
I think it's going to be worse. The first start of an NFL season with a new president and everything, and especially a Democratic president, a liberal. I think it's actually going to get worse. I hope not. I hope that it starts to get better, but I don't see that.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Jeff, what's next up on your list of things that you're looking forward to seeing this year? Here's the smile. Here we go. This is where it gets to be jerk-off time. Go ahead.
No, it doesn't get to jerk-off time. This is some serious shit, man.
It is. Good. I'm waiting.
One of my biggest watches this year is going to be... Barkley, Gettleman, Jones, the New York Giants. Not so much the whole New York Giants. I am holding I'm putting them on notice now, and I'm holding them responsible for their season that they have. Saquon Barkley coming off a knee injury, been injured in every season that he's played in so far. Okay, I want to see what happens to him. Do they sign him long term? Mm-hmm. What happens to Saquon Jones? Does he take the next step in the right direction? Does he take a step backwards? What happens? Does he fall off the dock and get into the fucking water? I don't know. Okay, Gettleman, when is this man going to show any responsibility, some kind of responsibility, something? When is it going to happen? I'm putting them on notice. I'm holding them responsible, and I'm coming for heads probably around the third week of the season.
So that should, what if they're 3-0 at the third week of the season?
Tom, the only way this team's going to be 3-0 is if they're playing the fucking New York Central's 3 weeks in a row. It's not happening. It's not happening.
My next one would be, I'm going to skip over because we already talked about the AFC East, so I'm going to skip over my number six and go to my number five, which is, can the Chiefs buck the trend of Super Bowl losers who collapsed the next season? You know, Jeff, since I can't remember, maybe the last team that didn't was the Patriot team that lost to the Seahawks and then came back the next year and won. But since then, we've had the Falcons, the Rams, the Panthers, the 49ers, I'm sure a few more on top of my head, where they get to the Super Bowl and then the next year they completely fall apart. I'm curious to see if the Chiefs,
49ers are falling apart already, by the way.
Yes.
They lost two starters, I believe it is.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, yeah, I'm curious right now, can the Chiefs, who were the Super Bowl loser last year to Tampa Bay, can the Chiefs buck the trend, Jeff, and return to the Super Bowl and win it? I think anything less than that will look like a little bit of a letdown from being in the Super Bowl last year and winning the Super Bowl the year before. Can a team get there 3 years in a row? Jeff, let's see what plays out, but what's your thoughts?
I don't know, Tom, real quick. I'm surprised that we didn't pick more of the same subjects, to be honest with you. I'm kind of shocked about that.
Okay.
But I will say this real quick.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs have been building up for quite some time now. I think they've been putting it in the right direction and heading in the right direction.
Sure.
And I think that they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. I don't see them having a hiccup.
Okay.
I see them being right, getting right back on the horse and being right in the thick of things come January. So I'm going to say no.
All right. Well, that's something that we'll be following. And again, guys, August 5th, Jeff and I will be doing an entire NFL training camp report. We do it every year. We'll kind of break down the divisions. We'll break down the teams. We'll talk about the biggest stories. A lot of these you'll see there. Come on back. And the whole show dedicated to number one NFL football. Hopefully we'll have some guests. You know, maybe we'll invite Doug to show up and talk about his beloved Cowgirls. We'll see. Speaking of the Cowgirls, the third thing I'm looking forward to watching this year and paying attention to is the Cowboys, how much they lose and regret Dak's contract. And, in all seriousness, and I know I break Doug's balls, given Dak Prescott $40 million as a guy who's a little bit more than a game manager at this point in his career, Dak Prescott is not a guy, Jeff, that I think carries a team on a good football team. I think Dak Prescott is a good player, but I think I'm curious to see if he falls apart, if he lives up to the $40 million contract, and whether the Cowboys regret that contract. That's what I'm looking forward to, number three.
I don't know, Tom. I think what they did is they signed him as high as they did, thinking that in a year or two that there's going to be a $50-plus million a year quarterback and that they're going to have a reasonable contract on it. That's just me. Let's see what happens. But I think that would also fall under the guise of the NFC East.